Sometimes, you know, last couple of weeks we've been talking about, if you remember, hindrances to commitment, right? And when you look at the word commitment, it has to do with being emotionally engaged, faithful, diligent, all these types of things. And what's interesting is I was thinking about this. This is kind of like eating asparagus and Brussels sprouts, broccoli, but on a spiritual level, right? Because most people, they, like, I say for my daughters, I'll tell my daughters, hey, this, we got to eat your vegetables. And they sometimes think looking at the vegetables is the same as eating them, right? I'm like, no, you can't just look at them. You got to eat them, right? And then, no, I want the cake. I want this. It's like, I understand, but that you can't have cake before you what? Eat your vegetables. And sometimes spiritually, you know, it can be a challenge when you come to church. Sometimes it's great if we hear things that make us so excited. Yet at the same time, we have to be well balanced in our spiritual nutrition. And so sometimes we have to eat our spiritual vegetables. And so when we talk about commitment, you know, I know it's a big, you know, subject, and I know it can be a challenging one, but hey, you think once you get through it, it's going to do you a lot of good. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, like my mother, she used to create these recipes when I was a kid. One time she made this green sauce, like a light green. It didn't look so good. I kind of, you know, I actually tried to put the food on the floor. So, and I had a dog at the time, and the dog was under the table. And the dog kicked it out. And my mom saw it. She says, what are you doing? I was so mad at my dog. I was like, I can't believe you kicked it out. Nobody wanted to eat it. I was like, Mom, this just looks terrible. She says, well, it's good. You just have to eat it. And it's good for you. And so sometimes those things that the Lord gives us in His Word can be so good for us, but we can refuse it because we think it's just going to be too tough on me, but it's really not, right? We have to develop, you know, an appetite for good things because, I mean, even if it's like spiritual vegetables, because once you can consistently take your spiritual vegetables, you can become stronger spiritually. Amen? So I don't want us just to only eat sweet stuff spiritually. That wouldn't be good for us naturally, and it wouldn't be good for us on a spiritual level either. So I recognize, you know, we've been talking about commitment for a few weeks. And last week we talked about priorities and possessions, right? The week before we talked about actions and attitudes. How you want to change when the Bible talks about repentance. It doesn't just mean to stop doing something. It means to what? Change your attitude about something. Huge, right? And I realized something. I was studying. I was just thinking during the week. You know, when, how many of you know your flesh has a voice?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your flesh will tell you when it wants to sleep, when it's hungry,
yes.
Right?
Right.
How many realize your mind has a voice, your soul has a voice? Well, another voice would be your spirit has a voice.
Yeah.
Right? And so what I was thinking about, because we, you know, I was thinking about repentance, attitude, and actions. You know, our flesh has a voice, and it wants to do something, so we act on that thing. Right, so I didn't change my attitude. I behaved in a certain way. But all I need to recognize is, what did I do wrong? I was listening to the wrong voice. In that action, I was listening to what my flesh wanted to do. I wasn't listening to what? My spirit.
Right.
So if I change my act, if I repent, what was my repentance? It's not just that thing, but it was the, I listened to the wrong voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how do we become clearer is we start listening to our spirit, right? And I think as a kid, if, you know, I wasn't a real adventurous kid. I don't know if, I mean, I did things that I thought were really dangerous, but they weren't. You know, like, I thought this is dangerous, but it really wasn't. You know, looking back, it wasn't that big of a deal. But as a kid, you know, you can have such a tender, soft conscience, right?
Yeah.
And you know when you did wrong, when you stole someone's bubble gum or whatever, you could eat it, but deep down it just wasn't enjoyable. And yet, if you ignore that conscience, what happens? It becomes harder to hear that voice.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's kind of like, I have some pretty soft, tender hands. I do. Some guys, they got calloused hands.
Yeah.
Their calluses have calluses. Right? And how did they get those? Now, I have some calluses because I grab this or you work out because of friction and things like that. But if you let calluses build up, that's basically like what? Dead skin. And you can poke it and stab it and cut it and you don't feel anything. But if you have really soft, gentle hands, you poke it or stab it, you're going to feel something, right? And God wants us to be that sensitive when it comes to hearing His Spirit. Even if something could be tough, but something bothers us, He wants us to be quick to realize, hey, wait, I need to pay attention to what He's telling me because He's trying to what? Trying to help me.
Amen.
So today we're talking about the one another factor. Now this isn't so much the one another principle. It's not so much about a hindrance to obedience, but something that will help us understand why we, you know, about our obedience to Christ or our commitment to Him. Amen? How can we maintain a stronger commitment to Him? So this is something I thought was so interesting. John 17. And we'll start with verse 20. And Jesus is praying. And this is probably, I think in John, this is probably my favorite chapter in John. I mean, at least, I know there's John 3:16, John 13, John 14, but when I read this prayer, what Jesus is praying, it's so, it's to me, it's really deep, okay? He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Talking about those who will follow Christ, follow Him after the apostles, after they're done preaching, all the believers who will come into the family of God. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory which you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Now this is interesting to me because Jesus is praying. He says, I want those that you've given me to be with me where I am. You know, sometimes, again, we think about heaven and we think, oh, I want to see Him. But He's thinking He wants to see you.
Yes.
Much more than you want to see Him.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
So can you imagine how excited He would be, or He is, how much He wants to see you and be united with you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, He's like, is it time, Father? Not yet. Not yet. How about now? Not yet. Just wait. How about now? Not yet. Just a moment. Just a moment. Hang in there. Right? Because He wants to see you. He paid a great price for you. He died for you. He loves you more, in a sense, than you can love Him.
Wow.
Right? So people go, I really want to see Him. But He's, on the other end, much more magnified in His desire to see us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, He says, verse 25, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, mm-hmm. and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, that's his disciples, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Now, this was what I found was so interesting about this verse, these verses. As we were going through this, I never saw this before, because the emphasis here is usually Jesus praying. You know, this section is where he says that the world may know that you love them as much as you love me. So he's equating God's love for Jesus. Jesus is praying this, right? That they know that you love them, that means all the followers in Christ, as much as he loves Jesus. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And again, if you think about how much he paid for you, it's like, how much are you worth? You're worth the same value as Jesus, because Jesus gave his life for you. So you can't think of yourself as, I'm nobody, because he's praying that they may know, right? Mm-hmm. That they may know, and that they may believe that you have loved me even as you love them. So he needs you to understand, he needs me, us, to understand that this love, one for another, that we not only love one another, but that we understand that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the same Jesus gave his life for you, you're a part of him. Mm-hmm. How could it be any different? Right? But here's what I thought to me was so outstanding. He says, starting with verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Now he's talking about his body being one, right? Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So now this verse here shed light on something for me. He's praying that his body be one as he is one with the Father. And you gotta let that sink in for a moment. He's praying, I want my body to be so close and unified with each other, the members, just like, Father, you and I are close and unified. Mm. That's what he said. Mm. They may be brought to complete unity. I and them and you and me, so that they, that's us, may be brought to complete unity, that they may be one as we are one. So I started thinking about this. How is Jesus and the Father one? How close are they?
Very close.
Can you imagine either one of them doing something against the other? No way.
Right.
But yet he's praying that the body, you and I, be one another, we could say principle, be just like him and the Father, because we are in his body. So as I was, you know, thinking about this, John 13:34 says it this way. John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this demonstration of love, everyone will know that you are my disciples, or the ones who follow him, if you love one another. See, I can't conceive of Jesus and the Father having a disagreement. Mm. Right?
Right.
It's like, no, they're one.
Right.
But yet Jesus is praying that his body be one.
Yeah.
Just like him and the Father, mm-hmm, being one. Because, you know, when there's disagreement, there's no peace. How many ever got in an argument with someone? Mm-hmm. Anybody? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Someone raised two hands and 2 feet. So, I have made you, if you think about it, the Lord, he's taking his body very seriously here. And in fact, in Corinthians, remember he said, for this reason some of you sleep, or some of you died, because you didn't discern the Lord's body. That's not just the body on the cross. That's the members of the body of Christ in their relationship to one another.
Yeah.
That's you're good. Not interacting with the body mm-hmm. properly. Amen? Mm-hmm. So here he says, this is the command I give you, that you love one another. Romans 12:10 says this. Be devoted to one another in love. What is devoted? Another word is committed. Right? Be committed to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. This goes back, if there's one slice of pizza left, don't push the person out of the way so you can grab it. Right? Offer it to someone else first. You know how kids, you know the rule we have? We don't necessarily have that rule, but you have children and they all want the bigger slice. And yeah. The one kid always wants to cut it so he can cut it unfairly and get the bigger piece. And so, well, right. Whoever cuts it, the other guy gets to choose.
Right.
First, what side they want. Mm-hmm. But if you're in love, you don't care. You know, I remember the chicken story, huh, when we first were going out? See, we didn't really know each other really, really well. So one of the first times we went on a date, I picked her up from school. Didn't I?
Or yes, did.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, I asked her, you want to go out? I was going to go out to eat. Do you want anything? And she said, no, she's not hungry. So we went to this chicken place. And I ordered some chicken. I said, sure, do you want anything? She goes, no, I'm okay. So I ordered, a two-piece meal?
Whatever. You ordered a big meal.
A big meal? And I ate it.
This was after basketball practice. And I had eaten for 6 hours.
All that kind of stuff. So she says, this became an issue later in our marriage. And I don't know why this is an issue. She says, I can't believe how selfish you are. And I said, what do you mean? She said, she would tell me, we went on this date, he didn't give me anything to eat. And I'm like, wait, I offered. I asked you if you wanted anything. She says, well, I didn't know if he had any money to buy me anything. Of course I was hungry. I haven't eaten for such a long time. And my thinking was, am I going to force food on her? No. I said, if I didn't have any money, this was before credit cards and all that stuff, right? If I didn't have any money, I wouldn't ask you if you wanted anything to eat because I couldn't buy it. That would be right. So our thinking, we were not unified. We are not one. We're separate in our thinking and in our ways. And it took some time. She's like, oh, you just put your foot up by the steering wheel and you just, we're eating and I'm just sitting there starving watching you eat. And it's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I asked you how many times. So we could have got offended. I think, it works both ways. She got offended because I didn't keep asking her. And then later on, I got offended because I'm like, well, how many times do I need to ask you? You understand? So we weren't together. We weren't in unity on this. We weren't meshing, but it took some time. We got over it.
Yes.
In the same way, when the Bible talks about being devoted one to another, or being committed, right? For the sake and honoring each other, this is how we grow in the body of Christ. We can't actually do something for Jesus because he's not here. But we can do something for his body, which is you and I.
Amen.
And he said, whatever you least,
yes.
You've done it to me. Why? Because you and I are part of what? His body.
That's right.
So we're connected to him. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says it this way. Yeah, let me say this. When we talk about connection, connection is so important. In fact, it's so important. It's usually the first thing people do when they get off the plane. What do they search for? They want to connect to the internet, right? Mm-hmm. They turn on their phone and it says, searching for a connection. Or, my battery's low, I need to charge it. And the reason I want to charge it is so I can search for a connection.
Right.
So I can get online and connect to something. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, people, as believers, we have to say, hey, I have to keep searching for a connection with God and with His body. Mm-hmm. It's important I remain what? Charged. And connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about this because, you know, there's things you can do to really drain your battery on your phone. Like, put on your personal hotspot and search online and watch a video and talk to someone at the same time. Your phone will really, like, start to uncharge. Right? You're consuming power. So when I see that, I need to what? Oh, I need to charge my phone. Because I want to remain what? Connected. And so when you look at so many scriptures encourage us to be what? Connected. Amen? Why? So we can stay charged. So we can accomplish, so we can do everything that the Lord calls us to do. Realizing we're part of the body of Christ. So, Galatians 5, verse 13. Says this, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. That's what you're called to. You're called to be free. But do not use your freedom for your selfish purpose. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Mm. So you realize we are supposed to serve one another. Be available for each other. Not to be taken advantage of, right? But to serve one another in love. I think this is interesting because sometimes, you know, depending on our culture and our background, we can say, hey, I'm free. I can do whatever I want, right? I'm free. But you're not that free. You're free, but you're free to what? Serve. You're free to love. You're free to give. You're free to grow in Christ. He doesn't want that freedom so that you're so free. Like, I was talking with someone, maybe it was a couple days ago, and I was looking at getting different glasses, right? And so, you know, you try them on, I say, hey, look, I don't look like a girl, do I? I don't want to look like a girl. And they go, no, you don't. I said, I don't want to look like a guy who looks like a girl. I don't want to be I went through the whole range. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what I don't know what I'm really looking for to look like. I just don't. I know what I don't want. So the person says to me, it was funny because, okay, it was at Costco, right? And then the person says to me, oh, Faith Christian Center, what's that? I go, that's the church, you know. She goes, oh, I'm looking for a church. And I'm thinking, oh, man, after I tell her I don't want to look like a girl, I don't want to look like a girl. She's like, now you're looking for a church. You should have told me that way up front. We were going to have this conversation, but since we have this conversation, I was glad. She said, I work on Sundays. Like, no problem. That's okay. That's great. We have Bible study, ladies, on Wednesdays, right? That's even better. So, but we're supposed to serve one another humbly and in love, right? Ephesians says this. Ephesians 4 says, verses 2 and 3, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. Paul's talking. While I'm locked up here in prison, this is the Message version, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, mm-hmm. alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Mm. So what is he telling us to do? He says, don't be doing nothing, but be, you know, I was thinking about You know, the Bible tells us to run your race. And in Revelations, what does it say? To those that overcome, or to those who finish. Now, finish means you got to stay with it until you're done. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how much, we know people get so excited they hear something. And I am very emotional. I know you may not seem like I am. Maybe I'm more emotional. I'm less emotional than I think of. But I don't want to use all my energy up on my emotions. Because I realize I'm going to have to face some challenges along the way. Right? So I want to be consistent. I don't want to be boring or dull or anything like that. But I realize I'm going to need some energy. I don't want to use up all my energy on my emotions in a really brief spurt of excitement. Because then I won't have anything left when I don't feel excited. Yeah. And I still have to overcome something. Mm-hmm. Amen? I was... The point is here, he says, don't just do it in a fit and a start. Don't quit. Like, what if you believe God really hard for 3 months and you quit? What do you end up with? Nothing. What if you believe really hard for a year and then you quit before the promise came? What do you get? Nothing. So the point is, you don't quit. And it doesn't matter how many notes you took. I mean, it's good to take notes. Mm-hmm. And it's good to listen to messages. And it's good to memorize scripture. But if you quit, you end up with what? Nothing. So when we're talking about commitment, we're talking about getting through something so that we get the reward.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes things happen in churches and in people's lives. And what I was thinking about is praying, because sometimes things bother me. But it doesn't bother me about their stuff. It bothers me about them as a person. Because they're part of what? The body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you or I might be going through, we need to understand the one another principle. That God's called us to pray for one another, to love one another, to humbly serve one another, not to think of yourself higher than someone else within the body, right? But to be a part of that body, to serve each other. This is what he's called us. Why? He's trying to get us to a place where we love each other like Jesus and the Father love one another. To that same level of unity. Mm, amen?
That's good.
That's what his prayer was.
Yes.
So, sometimes what happens, I recognize, that we might get injured in the course of our walk with the Lord. Right? Friendly fire, or the enemy, either one. So, I think I heard someone say it this way. It was a great description of what happened to me. I try to be consistent on a small time frame of doing the same thing every day. Like, I have to walk, or I don't really want to run. I mean, I don't jog, but I'll walk or run short distance, you know, exercise type of thing. So I was doing this one exercise, and it sounded like Velcro ripping. I was like, oh, that's going to be good. That really hurt. That really hurt. You know, like Velcro hurt. And you're like, yeah, that was like a 2-second rip there. That hurt. And I don't know why it hurt. Now, I could do different exercises, but I couldn't do that one. Basically, you know how you do arm dips? Like a dip? I think I'm going to do like 20 of these things. I'm going to knock this out, right? And because I kind of do it almost every day. And then the very first one, like Velcro, all the way across my arm. I thought, oh, that hurt. Now, I could do the pull-ups, but I couldn't do the dip, the different muscle, right? So I don't want to quit altogether. I have to give it some time to what? To heal. I don't stop just because, do I still do the other things that my body can do? Sure. But I don't want to stop just because I hurt that one area, right? And I have to give it some rest. I'm not going to quit, but I have to let that area rest. Or if one area needs a little bit more attention, you know, like sometimes you and I, we could be deficient in some mineral or some vitamin. Like, you know, they say 90% of people are low in vitamin D. I mean, that's not a, you can agree, that's not a hallelujah praise report. It's just, so if I need that specific vitamin, I could be doing great in all the other ones, but maybe I need to make an adjustment. I need a supplement in that. Sometimes we might need a spiritual supplement. We can be doing great in a lot of areas, but there's maybe one area we need to what? Improve on. Or one area we need to rest a little bit more, because it just sounded like Velcro in that area, right? Something just ripped. I don't know. Okay. But in either case, the Lord wants us to keep working together, wants us to focus on one another, right? As we focus on one another, encouraging each other, reminding each other, not judging each other, not being critical of each other, right? But, you know, like, I'll give you an example. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see that on my head?
Yeah.
You know what happened? I was walking during my normal exercise, just walking up, and it was daytime, and this guy had parked his truck in his driveway, and he had these 2x4s with sticking out, and he had a nail, like those nails, right? And the first time I walked by, I said, I got to pay attention to that, because that looks like that would just about be my height. Like if I was walking, that could just about be my height. That could be like almost, that would probably hit me in the head. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed, and I would always be avoiding it. And he had, it stayed there for a couple of days. And then recently, I was thinking about something else, and I wasn't paying attention. It was a little bit darker. Yeah, I wasn't just paying attention. I was just walking. I was thinking. I was praying for everybody with my eyes closed. No, but all of a sudden, it just something whack, right? Hit me in the head. And I'm like, what was that? And I turn around. Oh, it was the truck with the 2x4s. And then I'm looking. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, I don't feel any blood. Was that the nail that actually hit me? Or was that the 2x4? I don't know. And I started feeling like maybe it was just a 2x4 because it went this way, because the nail would have been, a, you know, the other way. But, you know, all these things running through my mind. I'm thinking, I should have just been paying attention. All the while, I knew. But when that happened, the rest of my body stopped. My hand said, whoa, protect it. What happened? I'm feeling around and trying to ease the pain. Because one part of my body is hurting. The other part comes and tries to help. Now, if my hand would have started slapping my head, I'd say, hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to, I'm already hurt. I don't need you to hurt me some more. Right?
Yeah.
So in the body of Christ, should we not help
yes.
the body? Right? Provide aid to the body rather than hurt the body? And sometimes we, maybe part of the problem is we wait, look at your neighbor and say, it's not just about you.
It's not just about you.
It's not just about you.
It's about
others.
It's about others.
Amen. Look at this. Ephesians 4:32 says it this way. Be kind and compassionate to one another. So we're not just supposed to be kind, we're also supposed to show what? Love. Mm-hmm. Forgiving each other. Mm-hmm. That means you can have time for people messed up. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe intentionally, maybe not intentionally, maybe they didn't know, whatever. But you're supposed to forgive. How? Just as Christ.
Yeah.
Just as in Christ, God forgave you.
Yes.
So you said, well, how many times do I forgive him? How many times did God forgive you?
All the time.
So this is how we're supposed to what respond one to another. So how should we then live? We should have that attitude or be like, what did God do for me? That's what I need to do for his body or toward others.
Yeah.
Amen. I need to express that. I need to demonstrate that.
Yeah.
James 5 verse 9 says this. Don't grumble against one another. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. It's like when you are judging others, or you are judging based on what you see, not what they see. Now, this is a really important principle. Because you, as you grow in oil, you might know more. You don't know everything, but you're learning and you're growing. And you and I, we have this tendency to assume that everybody knows what we know. Mm-hmm. Like, how come they can't see that? I can see it. That's because you can see it. And they can't. Because they can't see it doesn't mean anything other than they just can't see it.
Yeah.
So when the Bible says, don't be judging them, why are you getting on them? Because you say they have a sliver or a splinter in their eye. They don't see it right. And you got a 2x4. Now here's the revelation there. What's a 2x4 made out of? Splinters. How many? Lots. Thousands of splinters. He's saying, hey, they got that splinter. They got it messed up. They can't see that. And he's saying, what are you doing? You got a 2x4, which is thousands of splinters. And you're getting upset at them because they have one. Right? So don't do that. Amen? Don't do that.
Right.
So here, in closing, once you think about this, you know, God created us, man, out of a desire for companionship, for friendship, right? And I think it's amazing how we live in a culture today, especially with social media, that people can friend you and not even you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how they have all the fake people now? You ever make up a fake person on Facebook? Anybody? I've done that. You made up a fake person, fake picture, and then you get friends, people you know, and then you, hey, it's my birthday, and people wishing you happy birthday, and you're a fake person. I repented. I'm just saying, a long time ago, but I'm just saying. It's not right, but I did it. Maybe it's a social experiment. I don't know, but we can easily create friends and then unlike them and like them without ever knowing them. Yeah. But friends, real friends, are that rare, precious commodity in the earth that people really have very few of.
Yeah.
There's somebody who knows you and they still like you. Yeah, I love you, I know you, and I still like you. It's like, why would they like me? I don't even like me. Because God put something special in them to like you. And so you should avoid them, right? Because you need them. You need to remain connected with these precious relationships that God's placed you in. And all the while, you know, the enemy is always trying to get you to unhook, right? So he can hurt. And yet God's getting you to get connected so he can what? Help.
Yes.
So you can overcome. So you can get through things. Amen? Because people who love you, they've probably been through a few things too.
Yeah.
So I could tell you, don't walk under a truck with a 2x4, you're this tall. Pay attention to what you're doing. It will hurt. It will hurt you, right? So friends will be there for you. Others in the body will be there when there's good times.
Yeah.
And when there's not so good times.
Yes, yes.
Amen? They'll be there for you.
Yes.
Your job is to understand that and be there for them. Mm-hmm. Be there for each other. You know, God was there for Jesus when the multitudes were being healed and when he was on the cross. Mm-hmm. The unity factor didn't change. Mm-hmm. Right? What about our response to those in the body?
Yeah.
We're talking about remaining connected, staying connected. Don't just think, well, what can people do for me? We should think, what can I help others with? Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
So even look at, here's something too. Godly friends will tell you the truth in love. Mm-hmm. In love. Like, hey, you missed that one. But I missed it too. I missed it. Someone said, what do you think? You want to know what I think? I don't think you should do that. And here's why. That's the truth in love. Why? Because they care about you. Because you're connected to them.
Yes.
Amen? It's like one time my daughter, I said, don't touch the stove. Why? Because it's hot. It will hurt you. But you know sometimes the curiosity factor? Mm-hmm. Next thing you, what'd you do? I touched the stove. Why? Why? Well, I don't know. I didn't know it was going to hurt me. I told you it was going to hurt you. I told you it was hot. Do you think I just don't want you to have fun? I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying. And God tells us not to do something, it's because he knows it's going to hurt us. It's not because he doesn't want us to have fun. There's other avenues and other ways we can go have fun, but touching this is not good. It's not one of them, right? So the Lord tells us the truth in love. Why? Because he loves us. As we grow closer to each other, right, and connect and develop, you know, searching for a connection, God will help us. He'll strengthen us. He'll help get resources and supply knowledge and things that we need and friendships. And those things should be more precious to us. Amen? Because they last over a lifetime.
That's right.
Because if you think about, if you actually have one person or two people that you could tell anything to, and they wouldn't be shocked, wouldn't that be valuable to you?
Yes.
The reason you can't, because when you have tried telling somebody something, they told everybody. I ain't trusting nobody ever again. Like you tell one person, don't tell anybody this. Can I trust you? Yeah, you can trust me. We're brothers. You can trust me. And then, like, you no longer hang up. You're getting a text message from someone else. Like, hey, I heard from so-and-so. You're like, what does tell no one mean? So then what happens? You get hurt.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to connect anymore with people.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you can't trust anyone. Mm. And then you live in life alone. That's not good. Mm. Right? You should pray and we should be led.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes someone asks me, hey, can I, you know, if someone says to me, don't tell anyone, you know what that means to me? That means no one. That means I won't even tell my wife. And she'll ask, what do you talk about so-and-so? I said, can't tell you.
No,
she said, why? I said, we said we're going to tell no one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I ask that person, is it okay if I tell my wife? And they say, yes. I said, because I don't care. If you tell me no, I will say nothing.
Right.
Because what does no one mean?
No one.
There's
no
times, one. Now, I'm not the other way around as much. She's on the phone, I say, oh, okay. Like, fine. I don't necessarily care what you talk to everyone about.
Yeah.
But if someone says, please tell no one, then that means I am telling no one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, no person.
That's right.
Not even my wife.
Yeah.
Like, honey, I'll make your favorite food if you tell me no. I'm telling no one.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Why? Because we have this friendship that God, we're connected, and I wouldn't want that person, if they promised or said they were going to tell no one, to tell me, or tell someone else, or tell their wife, right? You know how many times that happens, right?
Yeah.
So when we are looking and we're talking about connecting with people, loving one another, growing up, praying for each other, serving one another, being as close as Jesus and the Father with each other.
Yeah.
You know, even the scripture, confess your faults one to another. Mm. Pray for one another, yeah, so that you may be healed.
Right.
You know, why is he saying this? Well, so that you can grow together. So you have something that, like a very, very tight bond, relationship.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Where you can trust each other. So, because we need, I don't know if you know this, but we need each other.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
That's right.
We need each other. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Well, before we do, I just want to challenge you with this. If you look at your life, I want you to look at your relationships, your role, and your responsibility toward one another. What are the relationships? What are my roles? How am I responsible in this? For my ability to respond? Just consider some of those things, okay? Because sometimes we think we don't always know what others are going through, and they may not know what you're going through. But give each other the benefit of the doubt on some things, right? Like, it's my birthday, nobody got me anything. I mean, it's not my birthday. I mean, I'm just saying, for example, right? Everybody knows. I'm going to have two birthdays a year just to make sure I get, you know, time goes by. But look at the relationships and the people he's put in your life. And look at, what are some of the roles that I have? What is my responsibility? How can I be a blessing to others? in the body of Christ, especially in the body of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for helping us to better see the one another principle and how we're supposed to interact with each other. And not only that, but how that you desire that we be one with each other as you are with the Father, Lord Jesus. That you desire that we be one with each other, just like the unity that you have with the Father. Because we are in the body of Christ. And our unity is key. Our ability to connect is key. And to relate is key. And to serve each other and love one another. It's about serving you. And so, Lord, we just purpose in our heart to do better. To work on those relationships. And those roles and our responsibilities and the things that we have on our end to do. And, Lord, we also purpose in our heart to never quit. Not to give up. Not to, you know, we might have fallen. We might have messed up, but we get back up and we keep going because we're going to finish our course. We're not going to quit. We'll never quit until the very end when we finish our course. And we'll hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. My good and committed servant, diligent servant. That's what we strive for, Lord. And thank you for the privilege and opportunity to hear your word and to respond and to act to your word so that we can reap eternal rewards and we can grow up mightily in you. Mm-hmm. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Brother Tony.
Thanks, man. I know it's huge. The bigger the Bible, the more valuable it is, of course. That's why I have mine on a phone that costs way more than any other Bible. Talk about ridiculous. If you need envelopes, we have envelopes.
No, I don't. I don't need a passport.
So, I appreciate the challenge of being allowed to come up here and give tithe and offering messages, because tithes and offerings is not something I've been always great at. You know, it's something that we have struggled with, and we had to get over it. And, you know, you try and figure out why it is, and I think it's just because money is such a... Anytime you talk about money, people start to become touchy. You know, and you try and wonder, what is that? And, you know, I'm praying about it and thinking about it, and God's, you know, just said prosperity gospel. And I'm like, you know, immediately, I'm like, offended by the idea of prosperity gospel. I'm like, no, that's not what we talk about. And I'm like, okay, so why don't we talk about that? What is it that's, you know, because I have tried... And I have focused on giving tithes and offering messages that don't sound like every other tithe and offering message that I've heard. And my reason is because I think that when we talk about, like, prosperity gospel, our focus is on money. Our focus is on some sort of economic well-being, you know, which to me is just, it's not the focus of the gospel.
Right.
It's not the focus of our priorities. I mean, the verse that I've said probably every time that I've come up here is set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth.
Yes.
However, Wikipedia, thanks Wikipedia, it's not super reliable, just in case anyone thinks it is. But this is what it says about prosperity theology. And so I read this and I'm like, do I have an issue with this? Prosperity theology is a religious belief among some Christians who hold that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God for them. Mm. Financial blessing and physical healing are always the will of God for you.
Yes. Amen.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
And that faith, positive speech, and donations to religious causes will increase one's material wealth.
Yes.
Yes.
Does anyone have a problem with that?
No.
We all believe in prosperity gospel. The only thing that I will correct on here is it's not positive speech.
That's right.
It is confessing the word of God.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
There is no prosperity outside of the gospel.
That's right.
The gospel itself is our prosperity.
Yes. Amen.
And if our focus is on financial well-being and financial gain, then our focus is in the wrong place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you look up the definition of prosperity, it really only defines it as the world only sees prosperity as a measurement of your economic status. The word is in stark contrast to that. The word says without the right standing with God, your economic status is useless.
That's right.
What does it profit to gain the entire world and lose your soul?
Amen.
So if you were only concerned, if your first concern is financial well-being, you are not in right standing with God. You can either serve God or you can serve money.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot serve both. That's what the word says. So I thought about, okay, so what is our focus? And the other night after prayer, Pastor and I were talking, and he was telling me this story about them going to China and all the stuff they went through, and the hotel that they had to stay in was, like, horrendous. And then they were in this room, and they were praying, and this girl started making noise. And come to find out, she had been deaf and dumb her entire life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody gave money so that he could be there and so that other people could be there giving the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the monetary value of now I can talk and now I can hear and I couldn't before?
Yeah.
Is there any economic status that brings you that?
No.
That is beyond economic status. It's beyond the medical profession. And I was looking at a scripture that, you know, supported that. In Matthew 11:4-6,